and welcome to all of our two and four-legged listeners to What the Bark, the Right Paw podcast. I'm really excited today. We've got our first international guest. I think it's a bit of a milestone for us as a podcast. And of course, have to introduce everyone's favorite co-host, Genetic George. George, welcome back.
Oh, Nathan, great to be back. And yes, today is a special show. We've done interstate.
We've checked that box.
And we thought we needed to sort of up the level of the Right Paw podcast. And I thought, let's go international. And when you want to go international, you've got to bring an international guest.
High quality caliber and level. That's
the guest that we have lined up today. He's very close to almost having his own Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame.
And you two are making me nervous now.
It's been great to be able to get this guest on. And it's, you know what's great about it? We're not just talking about someone who has nothing to do with dogs.
We're talking DNA, we're talking responsible pet ownership. Mm-hmm. They're all the things that we talk about here at What the Bark.
And for all our guests, I suppose, we better warn them that we will be using a word that some might find offensive, but we're using this as a noun, not an adjective. So we're not going to describe today's a shit day. We're going to talk about shit, basically.
That's it. We're here to talk shit.
And let's talk some shit. Yeah, we've got him on here. He's the president, the vice president, the CEO of a company called
Pooh Prints.
Get him on. Introduction to Jay Redinger from Pooh Prints. Welcome, Jay.
Well, good morning. I'll tell you what, you two've got me nervous now. I've got some big shoes to fill. First international guest. This could be a wreck today. This could be a shit show today.
Well, hopefully it's not a shit fire, but it will be a shit show.
Look, I'm excited.
You know, we are, because Nathan and I were just talking. We've actually become breakfast host shows now, not drive time.
Yeah, we've had to record in the morning to make the time zones work.
Nice. Yeah, we're going prime time next.
That's it. And George and Jay, you know each other. This isn't obviously your first rodeo. Like you go way back.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Nathan, you know, when I grow up one day, I want to be George. I had the pleasure of meeting George years ago. And through, you know, George, we've been doing business together, what, probably 2-3 years now, right?
At least 3-4 years, I'd say, you know, through just conversation via Zoom and chat and whatever and trying to work together. But, yeah, tell us that we met, where was it again? At some, you know, when you go to
I think free we met in Orlando. Yeah,
free loan
in Orlando.
I think you were trying to get a pen from one of the, you know, and I was trying to get one of those little, you know, scratch pads, and we sort of clashed, and we go, what? And we met. Nathan,
it was love at first sight.
It sounds like some kind of romantic comedy.
Because, I mean, although Jay and I have the same aspirations to make lots of money, we have a common thing in that we sort of see the funny side of business too. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We like to sort of, you know, ride the moment, have a bit of fun. And I think that's where Jay and I hit it off. We shared a conference buffet.
We like to have a good time.
Yeah. And it's a reflection of just the way Pooh Prints has been going and, you know, everything. I met part of the team there, which we'll talk about later, because, as you know, Nathan, behind every great, you know, we might be the front people and the people that count the money, but the people that make the money are the important ones behind us, aren't they, Jay?
They are. We have an amazing team here. I don't think anybody would ever trust me with a company in the right mind, but all of our people here make it happen.
Excellent. So, you know, talking about your team, how do you tell people about what you do? Because, you know, if I'm coming to work, what is it that you do? Tell us. This is what...
So yeah, let's talk about Pooh Prints. You know, first of all, if people hear the name and they think, "What in the world is that?" And while BioPet is an animal genetics company, Pooh Prints is our world-renowned program. That basically what we do is we promote responsible ownership through working with communities, municipalities, dog parks, and we work with them to tell them who are the owners that are not picking up after their dog. And what it does is it creates clean space. Education is our passion. We want to educate pet owners. We're pet advocates. We want people to be able to take their pets wherever they go, their dogs anywhere, but do it responsibly. And so we've created a program that creates that level of accountability. And what happens is they register their dogs, they find shit on the ground, and some places it's piling up, and they send it to us, and we tell them who didn't pick up.
Wow. So it's almost like an accountability system, an honesty system, to make sure everyone is doing the right thing. Because, you know, you see it. You're walking your dog, you go through the park, you go through your apartment building, and there's just, you know, a pile of poo. And it ruins it. You're right. It ruins the space. So they can actually have some accountability for who that owner was.
It's really dangerous. It's actually dangerous. It's you know, you see it, it's disgusting, it ruins the space, it smells, but at the end of the day, it's a health hazard too. It's an environmental hazard, it's a health hazard. And what we have found is that most people, you know, I'd say 70% plus of pet owners are responsible. There's a small piece that aren't. And what we have found is through the program too, is most people just aren't aware that, oh, you know, we're supposed to do this, or it is dangerous. It's, you know, it's not a fertilizer. And so, you know, through our accountability, they realize, hey, I do need to pick up. I can't just leave that there.
And Jay, you do this for all of America? You're the only...
George, we do this for all of the world.
Wow.
So, man, yeah, it is.
That takes me to another question. In America, you have different laws in different states. Do you have to pick up your dog's poo in every state? Is it a law?
It is a law in most states now.
Okay.
Here in America, in the U.S., it started actually in New York City. They started things called pooper scooper laws about picking up after your pet. And that's the other thing too, is, you know, it's a law that's hard to enforce.
Absolutely.
You know,
you come along
and, you know, you've seen this crime committed on the ground. Well, how do you collect evidence and figure out who did it? You know, you can't always be there and catch them in the act.
No. So, you know, I usually have I'm going to start it early. My son Dion always asks these Dion questions. And this is a curb. So it's a young kid asking the really tough questions, are you, Jane? And I'm going to put it early on because it's really important for how your business operates. When you're walking behind someone and you see them walking their dog, and their dog's dropping a poo, do you go, please pick it up, or do you go, please leave it?
That's a great question.
That is a very good question.
You sit there and you go, you know, don't pick this up because this is, you know, $100 in my pocket. Or do you say, please?
And now internationally, you're asking me to, you're putting my morals out there.
That's
there,
right. You know? Well, you know.
Here's you know, do I answer honestly? Do I answer, you know?
Give me the answer. Give me the honest
answer.
Yeah.
I hope they pick up. You know, that's our mission. Yeah. We, you know, yes, could we make some money off of it? The funny thing is, you know, we don't take a piece of the fine. We're not in the fine part. We just provide the service. At the end of the day, I want them to pick up.
Yeah, so do I. So, you know, everyone does. Sometimes I even offer someone a poo bag if they don't, because they've always got the thing, I don't have a bag on me.
And that's the thing. The real question is, are they registered? That's what I want to know.
Yes.
Whether they pick up or not, are you registered? Yeah. Now that's where we're talking.
Because I imagine, you know, in that community, in order for it to work, every dog would have to be registered. You know, they'd have to do their swab and send that to you. So you have their identification on record.
Yeah. And so that is, you know, registration is key. We work with the communities to make sure everybody gets registered. We have positive reinforcement where they get benefits with pet companies and pet vendors and pet supplies when they register, discounts and things like that. But registration is key. And some communities, they get everybody registered really easy and it's not that bad. Other communities, you know, there's different tactics and things we have to work through.
It's interesting.
But what we love, and so as we study shit all the time and watch dog poop coming in, we call them no matches. If we get a sample that doesn't match, and so we have the ability to work through some details with them and some data on okay, you've got some people that aren't registered. Let's start. Here's some tools to track them down.
Nice. Good. Because, you know, I've been in this business for 20 odd years, Jane. I can tell you every year I tend to get an email from municipalities saying we want to do this, but it never gets any traction because they struggle at that How do I get a database? How do I get consent? Councils always struggle. What's the incentive? You know, it's if you don't have a database, it doesn't matter what you're picking up, you're never going to have any matches. So it's great how you've been able to do that. But do you work more with councils or do you work with body corps? You know, because sometimes I get certain units or blocks of units.
Apartment strata.
So today, I mean, you know, a majority of our business today are the apartments, the strata groups, the condos, we call them, the projects, the developments, where they are confined areas. You know, it is easy. You know, you're bound by some kind of landlord tenant agreement or lease on rules that you need to follow. And that is easy. But we are working with more and more councils and municipalities. And what we're telling them across the world is, because George, you're right, they get hung up on, how am I going to start a database? How am I going to register 9,000, 10,000 dogs? Yeah. Well, you got to start somewhere. And so we work with them to create these, what we call like funnel registrations. Where are registration points that registration can occur? But primarily too, we start with education. And we start with using the service as a forensic tool. Like I said earlier, when a crime is committed, evidence has to be collected. And so they can simply use the program to start there. That's where we're seeing throughout Europe. You know, many countries and councils and municipalities are starting there. They're saying, hey, we've got people out patrolling. We're going to, you know, most of the time you can catch people, you know, in the act.
Yes.
And so as this occurs, except mine, I've taught my dog. He's sitting over here. I've taught Brutus how to squat pretty quickly so we can go. But I'm just joking. We pick up. But
Charlie, mine circles and gives you at least 30 seconds before you know, whereas Mary, my other one, just stops in the middle of the road and just does it like it.
Just goes.
Yeah, does a mannequin and just sits there and freezing. You're trying to pull and, you know. Yeah.
And you've all seen those owners where, you know, they don't pick up, but they, you know, they look around, they see if anyone's watching, and they just sort of make a beeline for the exit. And I think it's great. Like, we can actually now start to hold people to account a bit more. And in Australia particularly, it's interesting, you know, Jay, I don't know if you know, but very recently they just passed a law in our state, New South Wales, to allow pets by default to be accepted into all apartment buildings. Previously, landlords could actually, you know, veto it was their call. And now they've said by default, you have to allow pets, which is great. And I think, you know, it means now that, you know, maybe it's a business opportunity for you, Jay. Australia is open for business.
Yeah. Now we've talked with several Australian companies. Mm. I think George and I need to sit down and talk again.
Yeah, we do.
But yeah,
we
that's do. Huge. That's great. And that's what we want. I mean, we all own pets and we understand the value and the benefits and they're part of our family. And they can get a bad rap because of these problems.
Yeah. Look, Jay, I couldn't agree with you more. The amount of dog ownership in Australia has skyrocketed, and the amount of dog poo that's not picked up has as well. And it about 6 months ago, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but my dog Charlie actually stepped in dog poo. And if you've ever seen a dog step in dog poo, the reaction is just amazing. It's like it's on hot coals, you know. It's like
that.
Now, you know, when your dog steps in dog poo, there's too much dog poo around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
that,
if it can't
avoid
it.
That's amazing. That's like, I didn't think that could happen. That's like a cat that's like a cat not landing on its feet.
That's right. And it was Charlie's reaction was like, get this off me, you know? And it's worse than if you're wearing those really expensive Nikes that have got all that inundation under the sole and you're stepping dog poo. It's nothing worse. You can't get that off. You have to hose it or get an ice cream stick and you try and maneuver out. Oh.
That's when I get the butter knife out.
The butter knife. Mm. Yeah. Which then brings me on to what I think would be the worst job at Poo Prince, and that would be sample reception.
That's what I was going to ask. You know, it's receiving it in the mail.
Yeah. Could you imagine the person goes, oh, no. Oh, look, today I'm going to be sick. Jay, take us through the actual process there.
Yeah, so here's the best part, because, you know, a lot of people, they think we are. They think we're getting a turd in a box, right? You know, a turd in a bag. But we've spent a lot of time and developed a proprietary kit. It's a small bottle.
Nice.
you know, I'm trying to think of like a small aspirin bottle or Tylenol, you know, medicine bottle, and it's got a proprietary stabilizing solution in there. And so to test, you know, the fecal matter, the poop, and get results, we only need a really small piece. I mean, we're talking a dime or nickel size. Okay. So what they do is they're cutting a very small piece. They're putting it in that bottle and you shake it up to mix it all up. And then that stabilizes it. And we've had samples that have come in those bottles in that solution that have been sitting in people's, you know, storage rooms for 6 months plus.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we're still able to get results.
Almost like a forensic little kit there with the stabilizer. Mm. Well done.
It's like a rapid antigen test.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Shake the. Yeah.
Rapid fecal test. Ooh, yeah. Could be something in there.
And there we go. We have to get those little sticks you stick in there and the little lines positive. So we get, now we do, we have an amazing team up front because every once in a while we get a leaker. Ooh. And
one of the little bottle leaks.
One of the bottles starts leaking. And, you know, sometimes, so what happens is between the leaking poo fluid and the bag and the box that it gets returned in, mold can start to build as through travel. And that's
a stinky.
Can produce, so that's a stinky situation.
You know, in terms of the actual transport itself, you know, how do you transport poo? Like, does it have to go via road, via air? Do you have a big hazard sign that goes on the postage bag? Like, how does it actually get to you?
Yeah, we've got a private jet. We just fly everywhere. So we have a great logistics system across the world. You know, obviously here in the U.S., we have a contract with the U.S. Postal System where we have prepaid, you know, mailers that have our logo, our address. Trust me, the U.S. Postal Service knows us really well. And our mailman, you know, I always tell people our mailman hates us. And we do take care of him because he's stuck delivering 500 little boxes a day of just poo. But it's considered an animal specimen. So, you know, it just has to have two layers around it. So we have a bag and a box and you know, it's a little prepackaged kit and it can be mailed. It doesn't have to be handled and it's non-toxic, the chemical, especially once the dog poo is mixed with that stabilizing solution, it's non-toxic. So it can be handled by anybody and there's no extra cost.
So Jay, for those that are listening, that are the scientists, we get a lot of people that listen that are actually, you know, got degrees. We haven't just got people.
This is where I get in trouble.
Terrible. This is where. So yeah. Let's run how. So you have a reference database, which is like a DNA profile, DNA fingerprint of all these dogs that are in an area. You get a sample, a fecal sample that comes your way. Your team accessions it. How do you know who to run it against? Or do you just run that sample one you extracted and do a fingerprint on that? You then run it through a database of all of the profiles or a selection?
Yeah. So George, so we do really kind of two steps there. So we are ISO accredited. So what that means is that we have to, our samples are blinded. So we just get a sample in and they receive that poo sample and they create and extract a profile, unique genetic fingerprint from that sample, you know, that stands alone from anything else in the database. We then run that sample in comparison against the entire database. Yeah, we will also run it. We do run it against certain groups, states, areas, you know, community groups, that kind of thing. It's run against that population, but we have the ability to run it across the entire database as well.
Nice. And do you, what is the percentage of matches you get in total? So
that's a funny question. That's a trick question, I say, because matches. So I'll break that down in two ways. So matches are how many offenders do we find, right? Mm-hmm. And that varies sometimes on our customers and how well they have implemented the program and registered the dogs. Yeah. You know, we have some places that it's 100%. We have some places that it's 50%. But what the other way I answer that question is, you know, we have processed hundreds of thousands of samples, and we have been able to extract DNA from 91% of the samples that we receive.
So,
which, yeah, you know, in the genetic world,
on fecal samples, you know, on buccal saliva swabs, you can get 95, 96.
Yeah.
You know, so you're talking fecal at 91. That's
it's unheard of.
Forensic. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that's, you've met Chesley and our team. Yeah. They're amazing, and they're constantly having to evolve the process.
Chesley's a forensic background. She's really good. All the smarts behind the company, Nathan, just like you and me.
And even the cool thing on top of that, that we've come up with, that I love, that we put in our database and our results that we provide the customer, is the random match probability. So, you know, some people don't know what that means, but if you watch crime dramas, right, and somebody's on the stand and they're like, you know, we think Mr. Smith has committed this crime and we've got this DNA evidence, and they say there's a 1 in 1 million chance that this sample could belong to anybody else, right? We put that statistic in our results, and most of our statistics come back and say that there is a 1, this is my favorite number, there is a 1 in sextillion chance. I know what George
said. Sextillion.
Sextillion. I think it's like 30 zero. It's more money than Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, I think, combined. But there's a 1 in sextillion chance, 30 sextillion, whatever, that this sample could belong to any other dog.
Interesting.
So I had somebody one time, yeah, they said, so you're telling me there's a chance?
So it's also comes down to, you know, the chance of the randomness of that sample being there, you know, the dog. So the forensics and numbers are mind-blowing. And to be honest, that's all down to the number of markers you use and the variation in the markers, how many different, you know, alleles there are at that. So that's all part of, again, Chesley and the team. And I think, Nathan, we've approached it. We should have got Chesley on. I can't believe we got the wrong Jay.
Two guests are great.
We've had that before.
And you know what? She could be your second international guest, as long as I remain the first.
It's interesting because that's one of the things we even get today is when you do a parentage confirmation, they still want to know the probability, and they still think, is there a little chance? You know, I did the AI, I was there, I saw it. You've got to be wrong. Well, you know, there's another Cy with a smile on his face somewhere that you didn't know about. So apart from your poo print, what else do you do there at Bio Labs?
Yeah, so we've got a couple programs. We do, as you know, we do some parentage as well here in the U.S. with breeders and lineage. We work with Orvet and use some of Orvet's breed testing, life plan. We're huge fans of the life plan.
Oh, God, this is Nathan, and I did not even push any button here.
No, it just shows the love between guests. It's just great.
Flowing.
What do you mean? I thought you were going to Venmo me some money.
It flows off, and he even got the name. He's got everything working. He knows the right things. Oh, this is beautiful. We're going to highlight this on the show with links to Orivet.
Flash below. We do some cattle lineage. We got a cattle registry. We do some sheep lineage.
Wow.
We've done a little bit of food testing. You know, it's kind of an interesting market. Wow, what a, that's why we do need Chesley here. She can tell you all the work we do. Yeah. But it's interesting because poop prints has kind of become, it's starting to become our bread and butter and one of our main focuses. You know, the potential there. Yeah, the potential to basically touch every dog in the world.
Yeah. Imagine having a DNA profile, as you said, of every dog in every community. Like, it's phenomenal. And I was going to ask, so of all the communities that you've, you know, been collecting samples from, which parts of the states are the most responsible and which are the mass offenders?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So it's funny. Now, UK, I will tell you, from around the world, you know, the UK is very responsible. You know, once you've implemented the program, they have abided, they've been very responsible. In the US, it's pretty funny. We have found that if you take what we call our upper Midwest region, the Dakotas, South Dakota, North Dakota, Utah, that area, we probably receive most of our samples from that region.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just so for those that are politically minded, is that Republican or Democrat areas there?
You know, it's funny. Those tend to be more Democrat areas.
Yeah, really? Who would have thought? I thought it would have been the other way around.
I know.
I've got my slogan for the next presidential run. You know, it's almost there. Pick up. We pick up. We're responsible. Pick up poop. Yeah.
George is channeling his Joe Rogan, like wants to get into politics and start commenting.
I don't know if America could handle George.
The what? You know, I'd have Neil Young come back, Joni Mitchell come back, you know, if I was on. If you know, I wouldn't be controversial like Joe, but no, it's interesting. So the more states.
You'd have my vote.
Oh, totally. Or you'd be on mine. Yeah. You'd be running with me. You'd be my running mate.
But it's got, So those states, obviously that's where you get the most offenders, but it shows that you have responsible owners that are dobbing them in, that are going, you know, this isn't right, and sending them to you. So it sort of works both ways. You know, you've got offenders, but you've got your good Samaritans and citizens that are, you know, trying to help them clean it up.
Yep. Yeah. And I would say too, one thing we've noticed in that area is that the number of dogs per owner is more than what you see in most areas around the U.S. Now, you've got a little more space in some of those communities there, you know, and so you probably have 2 to 3 dogs per owner versus, you know, 1 in some of your cities and things like that.
Well, Nathan, he's got his finger on the pulse.
He knows.
He thought he was just literally, you know, just the guy that came in the office and licked the
What do you mean? I'm making this up as we go.
Oh, it's excellent. Now, Jay, I know Nathan, when I bump into Jay, he is sort of sport crazy, and we can't go without him talking about, he's got some, he was drinking out of something that had a huge T on it, and he's wearing the top with a huge T. What are you promoting there, Jay?
So this is our local university, University of Tennessee, the Volunteers, my alma mater, and obviously, I'm a huge fan. And
yeah.
You've got great football, basketball, baseball.
And you help it, and you go and watch them play. And how did they go in the football this year?
Yeah, college football.
They did great. I mean, I think we finished 7-5, which is, you know, it's above 500. We went to a bowl game. It was our first year with a new coach. We lost a lot of players last year. And so they exceeded expectations. That's all I can ask for.
Well, I really want to know, you know, for most of our listeners, you know, they probably think, oh, you know, dog poo, you know, yep, great, like, you know, I pick it up, but like, you know, if I miss it, how bad can it be? You know, what really is the danger of dog poo, like, lying around? You know, I think people don't really understand the real danger of it just being left out in the open.
Yeah, so, you know, the E. coli, you know, the bacteria that is contained in dog waste is dangerous. And that, you know, what is it? Chloral fecal form. I mean, this is where Chesley's going to shoot me because I get some of this wrong, but there are millions in one small pile of dog poop. There are millions of E. coli, you know, cells and bacteria that can grow. And so what happens is, and nowadays too, you know, think about human waste. If human waste was laying around, it's almost the same thing because dogs are eating processed food. You know, they're not out, they're not plant eaters. They're not out eating. They're not carnivores out there eating, you know, other animals. They're eating processed food as well. And so as it sits there and it starts to decompose and more bacteria grows and mold, it then seeps into the drinking water and the groundwater. You know, in a lot of your communities, other animals like rats and skunks and those types of animals feed on dog poop too. So you start to attract them. What kind of diseases do they bring?
Interesting. I've just received an email from Chesley, Nathan, just to let you know that half of the stuff that Jay's saying is...
Oh, we need to fact check it.
Ping me an email and say,
you know,
go on.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you said earlier, you have good people behind you and you got to take care of your people. So I'm just setting it up an appearance for her. Oh, for she can come on and and correct everything I've said.
Nathan, I'm going to sort of try and do my prize here. To every show, yes. Jay, we Orivet offers a DNA profile as a prize. Yeah, this is like, we're not talking, you know, a TV or a 60. This is a full breed profile to the value of $195.
Wow.
To any guest who...
Do I get to enter?
No, we don't let the guests enter.
It's the one snag of being the guest. You get to be the first international guest, but you can't apply for it.
And we make it hard, Jay, because what we do is you must email me on the... Let me just check. I don't really...
Let's say the 21st of Feb, George.
Okay. You must email me on the 21st of Feb between 10:10 and 10:15 a.m.
All right. Sounds good. 21st of Feb, 10:10 to 10:15, Sydney or Victoria time. We'll edit that all back in.
Question is, I want listeners to email me with, on the show today, Jay was wearing and celebrating with something with the T on it. I want them to email me with what that T stood for and what it's about. And I don't want to hear about T cells. And so I need that answer. If it comes to me via email, one full breed profile to the value of $195. That's the competition part of the prize, Jay. And see what we try and do, Jay. We mix it up. For those people that think they can just listen to the first 10 minutes, people that can listen to the first 10 minutes, no. We sort of throw it in everywhere, anywhere we can.
Drops in randomly through the episode.
I like that.
And Jay, I'm sure having been in this business as long as you have, there's got to be some stories along the way. There's got to be some interesting cases that you've come across. I mean, what sticks out for you as memorable in the Poo Prince journey?
Yeah, good.
Well, you know, there's two stories that are probably my favorite. You know, one is kind of a testament to the program, and then one is just pure entertainment. We sometimes, you know, we talk about these bottles and these solutions, right? And, you know, you put a little bit of a sample in there, just a tiny little piece of a turd. And every once in a while, some people will pack that too full of stuff, right? And one time we did get a bottle. I mean, it was packed full.
To the brim.
But as our analysts, and sometimes you can still get results from that. And as our analysts started combing through and getting that shit out of the bottle, sure enough, there was a dollar bill in there. They found money, and I've always said, you know, who knew there was money in poo?
So the dog.
But there we go.
Wow.
The dog must have swallowed someone's...
Swallowed a dollar or something. Yeah.
That's crazy. And it didn't break down. It just straight in, straight out.
No. Now, I do know that one of my dogs has torn a dollar bill in half playing with the kids, but I never saw it come out. But yeah, so there was parts of a dollar bill in there. So the second story is one that I love. That's kind of a testament to the program. And, you know, we were working with an apartment community. And, you know, one thing that people want to make sure, landlords, they do want to make sure that if they've got pets living in their community, they're paying pet rent, they're, you know, they're accounted for, all of that stuff. And sometimes you'll have people that will hide a dog. And, you know, trying to avoid some fees and different things. And so we had a gal that was found hiding a dog at one of our communities, and they got the dog registered. And once we completed that swap, see, one thing we do for our communities is those no matches we talked about, we hold those and we rerun them for free for our customers. So as their registrations increase, they'll find the culprit. So it's not a one shot and you're done type deal. So they registered that dog, and that day we started getting some errors in the system. And so Chesley comes to me and is like, hey, something is weird here. And we go in and look at him, and it had flipped to 53 matches. That dog had come back to 53 samples.
A repeat offender.
Offender. So basically a shit a week.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. A shit a week hadn't picked up. Could you imagine?
Yeah. For a year. A
great story. So I didn't realize that. You rerun them.
We rerun.
Add more to the database.
Yep. It's funny, you know, you wind up being the guy at parties that people were like, what? You know, the almost the freak show they want to talk to.
I'd love it.
You'd never be short of a story.
But, you know, we told somebody the other day, like, think about it. You know, you all have seatbelts in Australia, right, in your cars?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's strange that there are laws and rules and regulations that mankind has had to put in place forever to protect us from ourselves and make sure that we, you know, that we do the right thing. And so the program's kind of one of those. I would love to talk to municipalities. I tell you, like I said earlier, you got to start somewhere. And I think many people and pet owners have seen that microchips are great, and they were great for the time. But we think, and George, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Eventually, DNA is going to complement, if not replace, microchips over time.
Key thing I always find is people lose a pet, or I have a lot of ones where I think my, you know, dog's been or cat's been hit by a car, and I had one who was trying to get the chunks of, for all those listening, get out of the tire or something, or saw it flat, but they don't have a reference sample. That's the problem. They haven't taken a DNA to be able to do a reference again. So I think that's the angle we should always try and use it as a positive. If you have a DNA profile done before, think of all the other things you can use it for.
Yep. No, George, I'm glad you said that. It's something, you know, we've been talking about that quite a bit. It's a natural lost and found, a proof of ownership. You know, we have a lost and found kind of built into our system. It's you find a dog and it's not microchipped, or you can't read a microchip, you can always take a DNA sample. But you are right. Collecting the reference sample is the key. We had a case years ago. It was in one of our communities where a small Yorkie, and to me, all Yorkies look alike. One owner accused another owner of stealing her Yorkie. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, we were able to prove through that DNA swab where it was registered that she was right.
Just shows the power of DNA. I really think it is, the evolution of microchips.
That sort of gets me thinking that maybe when we do get Chesley on, that we can talk about some of these interesting cases. And I always love how we can use genetics in any way.
She would love that. You know, there's criminal cases that we've worked for governments here in the U.S. that involve dog poop on evidence and different things and breaking down some genetic evidence.
Well, I was going to ask when you were going to start pitching, you know, CSI poo prints.
Yeah. A lot of people do refer to us as the CSI. We don't have the 3D holograms yet. You know, we don't have those 3D things in our lab yet.
If there's anything that I do hate, Nathan, it is CSI, because people watch those shows and think that you can literally get DNA out of everything and everything, you'll solve it like that. It just doesn't happen. And Chesley will most likely agree that most of the cases you tend to just say no before you even start them, because you just can't solve it. There's just no material, there's no reference, you're not dealing with what you need. So they're challenging. I find forensic cases to be sometimes not as easy as what these shows make them out to be. But
I agree. You're not going to get your results in 30 minutes.
No. Yesterday, no. After this commercial break, you'll get your results. Yeah.
That's what we tell our customers.
Yeah, we tell ours want them yesterday, Jane. Our breeders want results not before they even mailed them. Can I get my results?
They're instant
still
results.
You haven't posted them yet? And they're going, when will I get my results? I don't know. They haven't arrived there yet.
Well, I tell them, do you want my opinion on what the results are, or do you want the real results? Because if you're just looking for an answer, I can give you my scientific theory. You know, I will say, you talk about results, turnaround time. I have to and we've talked about Chesley, I have to give our lab credit. In a day and age where we've seen supply chain issues, we've seen, you know, we're all for the fight on COVID, but all labs are having to compete for the same supplies. And we've been very strategic over it. And so even our international results lately, we're giving our customers a 7 to 9 day turnaround time. We've even dropped as low as five days.
That is great.
That's fantastic.
Don't let our clients hear that Nathan. That out.
There you go. George is Jay's setting the bar.
Stop. Say sometimes hey. Five and it's long when it's 7 to 9 hours or 2 to 3 weeks. God.
Yeah. But you send those Orvat samples my way.
But we do more analysis on ours, Nathan. Ours isn't just, you know, ours is literally running thousands and thousands of markers. And you can't compare what we do.
I'm getting ready to have an Illumina deal for you.
Are you?
You let me know when you're ready.
This is becoming like a deal show.
I know. This can all happen off the podcast.
Yeah.
What's behind door number three, right?
That's right. Jay, we're going to fire this guy. Look, we're going to wind it up, Jay, because as your evening's coming to an end, ours is about to start and my inbox is clicking. And, you know, as much as we could talk for hours, we might even do a poo poo.
Do a follow-up with Chesley. Follow-up.
Give me the news, I gotta. But you know, the show also has a very important educational part to it, and it's where the guest actually becomes an important part from just talking. And it's going through and selecting the number between 1 and 171 so I can go through my common genetic diseases of the dog and read it out for our listeners. We educate them. So you get to choose a number between 1 and 177. And hopefully you don't choose one of the numbers that one of the other guests has, but Nathan's really good at advising
we keep track.
Track of it. So, Jay.
It's not a one in sextillion chance, but.
But that's a good one, Nathan.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh,
let's work it out. Nathan, can we work that out for the next show? What the chances of selecting the 1 in 100? It must be 177 factorial, is it? No, multiplied by 176.
Well, it depends. It also comes back to how many episodes we've had, how many guests. So, yeah. But Jay, hit us with a number.
And I'll tell you what, in honor of my oldest daughter, Mathis, I'm going to go with number 28.
I don't think we've had 28.
And I can really have to choose the most difficult one that I always get. Always
say, I'm just excited that you're going to read to me. It's like a bedtime story.
Yeah.
So he's chosen on page 20. Just let me check. Oh, that was 26. Sorry, my glasses. He's 28. Whew, this is better. I was ready. Wow, I've never heard of this.
No.
It's called Comedo syndrome. Comedo.
We've stumped the professor.
Yes, you have. Page 28. Now, this may be also known as come down syndrome. Or in inverted commas, crud. Or in inverted commas, schnauzer bumps.
Well, yeah, I've not heard this before either.
This
I haven't either.
This is sensational. People are going to. So we don't know the genetic mode of inheritance or this. It mainly occurs, of course, in miniature schnauzers and also may be seen in some of the crossbreeds. It's a cosmetic condition and does not affect the health of the dog. However, it can be worrying for an owner. This is good. So you've chosen a disease that is more of an issue to the owner because it's the keratinization disorder of the hair follicles and usually occurs along the top line of the body. Small pus-filled lumps, blackheads, and scabs form along the top of the back and some hair loss may occur. The diagnosis is confirmed by skin biopsy and, if necessary, a poo sample that can be picked up and sent to Port Pooprints. No, I'm only joking. I
had to sneak that in. Yeah, you're pulling my chain.
Senses, yeah. Treatment through human acne, benzoyl peroxide. Sometimes in severe cases, oral retinoids and other supplements are also used. There is no genetic test to screen for this disorder. Wow, interesting. There you go. It cannot be cured, it says here.
Yeah, that explains one of my college roommates, though.
I can see why they call it come down syndrome. You know, you've got this pus and acne that you can't get down. You're a crud, you know, crud. Look at this crud and schnauzer bumps. It's a great choice, Jay.
There we go.
And just for those listeners, Jay does not have this book by his lap dead or chose. He's chosen a what a scary bedtime story.
Oh. Yeah. That made my day.
Yeah. No. All right. Well,
this has been great.
This is about to start, and Jay's yours is about to end, and you're about to head off. And
I'm never going to look at.
But I'm going to go have a pint, and you're two in the honor of you two tonight.
Nice.
Well, and I'm never going to look at dog poo the same way again. I'm going to be spotting it as I'm walking down the street. My eyes are going to be darting everywhere.
And you're going to say, will he pick it up? Will he not pick it up? If he doesn't pick it up, it goes to a data. Interesting. It gets you thinking about the whole thing. And when you start, you know, when you see a fresh one, Nathan, and you see those cells on the ice outside of them that have got, that's what you want. Fresh is best. Then sometimes Jay might get those really white, hard ones, those ones that look like dried up cocaine poo. What do they call those white ones, Jay? You know, they turn into white.
Oh, wow. That's when it's, hey, those are some of our favorite. That means it's baked and it's ready. Oh, that ready. DNA is locked in.
We're going to need to have a warning at the beginning of the episode, like, do not have lunch while you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah. So you're right, Nathan. It will
change your outlook.
But I think what I'm hoping this podcast has done is generate some thought to people about, wow, who would have thought a business like this could happen, does happen, and is happening on such a large, grand scale.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping that when we post this, we can get some interest of municipalities down here and get them reaching out to Jay and George.
Yeah, and if any of our listeners are interested in learning more, we'll put some links in the show notes. And, you know, if you live in an apartment complex or, you know, in an area where you think it could benefit, I'm sure Jay would love to talk to you.
We'd love to talk. We can solve your poo problem and protect your dog.
Brilliant. Well, Jay, thanks for joining us. And that was lovely to talk some shit.
It was awesome to talk some shit. Always great seeing you all. Thanks for having me. And let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, we will. Thanks.
We'll do. Awesome.